It's truth. Now, everyone that was there, and you all know how great a man of God this fella is. He's out of the cave. And so, come on up, brother. You know, we called Stephen, well, I picked her up from Pastor Gary Davison. He's the bishop, you know. But titles for him falls way short, he was telling me, from or other people's titles that they've given him. So you can tell us some of them.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to stop, particularly Nigerian people, it's hard to stop them calling you pastor. So anyway, a traveller phoned me the other day and she said, "Most Holy One, Great High Priest." So anyway, so when someone says pastor to me now, I say, that title's way down to what I'm used to. And they said, "Why, bishop?" Oh, I said, "That's still way down on what I've got." Just this session, the perseverance, the Holy Spirit, the name of Jesus. What would I say? I've always been big into sports, and I've read an awful lot of managers' books. I'm certainly waiting on some books to come out. I'd love to read the Arsenal manager's book, but Alex Ferguson's book and all that side of it, absolutely intriguing how they get the best. Pardon? How he gets the best out of everybody and out of the players. And Clive Woodward is a must. He was the, for any leader and all, it's all about winning. And, Clive Woodward, he was the rugby coach of England that won the World Cup in 2003. And that was against all the odds because in every country, the country owned the players, but in England, the clubs owned them. And so for them to win the World Cup in 2003 was a massive accomplishment. But in the book, I didn't mean to get into this, but he wrote about in 99, before they went to the World Cup in 99, they went off for training with the elite soldiers out of the British Army. And when they went for training, the soldiers, the elite in the British Army were very quiet when they came back. And Clive said, "I want to know." He said, "It was too late. We were 6 weeks away from the World Cup." And he said, "We wouldn't go into battle with half of that team." And so he said, "Why?" He said, "Their attitude." He said, "When things go wrong," he said, "their heads went down." He said, "In the battlefield," he said, "your head can never go down." And so Clive said, after the World Cup, they lost. They were beaten by South Africa. He said, "We eliminated any players that had a bad attitude." And he said, "The one thing we worked was attitude. No matter what, where they were at in a match, they believed that they could get that ball and get over the try line and to win it. No heads went down." He said, attitudes rob you of vital energy. But anyway, I got Johnny Wilkinson's book. He was the out half that scored the winning drop goal for England in 2003. When Johnny Wilkinson trained, he trained for hours, but he said on a cold November evening, he often spent 3 hours kicking that ball. And he kicked it so often, his feet became so marred, they had to make special boots for him. So he said, when the ball came to him in that final moment of the match against Australia, he said, "I'd done it 99 times out of 100 on dark November nights in Newcastle." He said, "It was no problem." He said, "I knew that 99 times out of 100 it would go over." And so what it brought out was the training, what he put himself through, how he prepared himself, his mental attitude, and all of that. And, you know, I'm 61, and the Lord, I began to speak to me. I said, 24-year plan. I said, why a 24-year plan? Because we take ourselves there by faith, and we receive ourselves on the other end. And he said, what is a 24-year plan is how you prepare yourself mentally, how you never give up. And this summer, literally lost my walk. I don't know why, what caused it or whatever. But I was determined to get back again. I just wanted to get ready for our summer conference. And, you know, I don't know what caused that to happen. It may have been rheumatic fever, I don't know, in the forest, get hot and cold. But there's no surrender. You keep your faith going. And you arrive there. And it's how you prepare yourself as an individual so that whatever comes your way, you are ready under heaven to do all that the Lord wants you to do. And so in 94, we had a prophet in. I'm just flowing into the session now. And we were at that time believed that the whole principles of healing was a way to reach the nation. We still believe it's a major way of the Acts of the Apostles and what Jesus did. And this prophet came in, a guy called Harold Eberly. And he spoke over both their lives, and he spoke about Gideon taking the kings out and going after them, and talked about people to support us. I mean, that was sort of in the fellowship. And but in 95, we had this prophet in the church, a guy called Mike Heron, and he prophesied, I remember, a lot about worship and tabernacle and all that. And then sometime later in 95, I was in Calvary, and another prophecy, and this time it got my attention because it said, you're going to be like a David in worship, and you're going to influence worship. I said, wow. A very noted prophet, Noel, because I can't play an instrument, I can't sing. And but in 98, we lost our worship leader, and our conferences were always very good with very good worship leaders. And somebody took it over that was very weak in the music area. But what happened was we had to release the people. And so, like what you were telling us earlier about Noel, certain parts, there were a time through the church, it was like the devil was over the church. Just you couldn't feel the presence of God. And so what happened around 98 was loud tongues, loud declarations. It wasn't pleasant. The place was absolutely wild, and suddenly people, a new whole flow of worship and whatever. And I remember talking to Ian Andrews, and I told him what was happening over the church. It was like strongholds over the place. And he said, what did you do about it? And I told him about loud tongues and loud praises. He said, I don't need to know the answer. I said, why? He said, whatever it does, he said, it absolutely pulverizes the demonic world, he said. Loud tongues, loud praises. And I believe, I'm just going to touch the whole area of the Holy Spirit, that there's something that the Lord spoke to me a year ago. And he said to me, maybe 2 years ago, he said, if you can get the worship right, you're going to see incredible miracles. Didn't tell me what or whatever. And Suzette did her degree in music, and she brought a level of beauty into the whole area, glory to God, but into the whole heart of the worship and the whole thing of the ability of getting other people moving in the whole area with instruments and into the whole area of worship. But I got a book by Dick Iverson, Prophetic Moments. My wife bought it secondhand. And he took over a church, his father's church, because he had to, because his father had a heart attack. And basically, he said worship in their church was a nightmare. He said he dreaded it every Sunday. He got up there, he sang, the people just looked down at themselves, nobody entered in. He said, I was used to doing it as an evangelist, but he said to lead a church in worship. So he said, I started to go to see was it as big a nightmare in every church as their own church. And he ended up in this church where a guy called David Schock was involved. And he said the worship was massive all over the place. Prophetic worship, prophetic flow. And so at the end of the meeting, he said to him, is it like this every week? And he said, this was special. And he said, no, it's like this every week. David Schock came along and spent time with Dick Iverson. And the whole thing of praying in the Spirit, Pentecostal worship, releasing the Spirit. And he said their worship just took off, and everywhere they went. And I must say, the Lord spoke to me. I remember in the midst of a tremendous flow of prophetic worship with ourselves, he said something shifts over the atmosphere. What happened at Pentecost was something shifted over the atmosphere that allows greater freedom for the Holy Spirit to move. And so that I know there are different styles of worship, but I do believe, and whatever way we go about it, you know, sometimes a church can be completely outreach church, but there must be space that we have hours, whether it's during the week or whatever, to let Pentecostal worship loose, where it's extravagant and where it absolutely goes wild. And so in our own church, there's quite a number of people involved in worship, and more all the time getting involved in it. Something, and I just know the Lord's hand is on it. Because last summer, Noel, I saw the chimes 20 years ago. I saw them once in a meeting. And before the conference, about 3 weeks, I said, chimes. And then there was a new couple in the fellowship. And I said to her, have you ever played the chimes? And she didn't answer me. She went completely silent. So anyway, I went home that night. And when I get something in my head, I'm going to get it. I phoned Nora that we're going to buy some other musical instruments. And I just about knew the name, what they looked like. So I decided I better phone this woman back. It was strong with me. And she said, I had a dream that I was playing the chimes a week ago. And she said, I lost the talk when you said it to me. And she said, I said it to my husband, and he said, it's only a dream. And then she said, you said it to me. And so I sort of feel it's a God thing of what he's doing in our midst. And so this new girl came into us. I didn't think she would stay with us, but we were helping her to find her because she'd done 2 years in Hillsongs, and we were happy to help her in her journey. And then she had prophetic words that from Australia that she would join a place that was insignificant or look insignificant on the outside, but that it was like an oil rig and that she'd travel through the nation carrying oil with her. And then she went to Wales and she just stepped into her fellowship and they said, you've stepped on a train, and it's an old train and it's been through many storms, but it's very focused in its direction and many doors will open for you. And I remember one Sunday morning, because we've got an abundance of worship in the church at the moment. I mean, I think there's 6 worship groups in a small church and more on the way. It's just, somebody said to me, they never saw in a place of 100 people, more people doing worship. And I know some other churches were saying to us, and I came home from church and I said, Lord, he said, I don't want you to release anybody out of this. He said, you can let them out and do worship. But he said, I want to do something amongst this group of people. He said, I want you to guard it. Because he said, I want to take the kings out. And that word came back to me from 94. And I believe in the nation of Ireland, he wants to do something in Pentecostal worship to release things like never before. We've one girl in the church, she's only got one song. It's all, what is that song? It's Jesus. It's Jesus. Benny Hinn sings it. And that was the one thing that the woman who came to the conference last year, that song just suddenly went through her. There's another woman, she's about 2 songs, maybe soloists. It is, Arise and Be Healed, Let Faith Arise in Your Hearts, and I Am the Lord, Their Healer. The Lord just began to just speak to me. He said, different things will just begin to, he said, let me do it. He said, listen, let me do it. He said, let's keep this together. But we are releasing them just for special events, that he would keep it together. And so I sort of feel in worship. And then when I was made redundant a few years ago, I thought Ireland, I'd be all over the place. And God called me to a prayer watch. And I just kept stronger and stronger. So all day Tuesday from 10 in the morning till 8 in the evening, and probably will be extended to 10. And then there's periods of Easter where it goes for 40 hours and the summer 50 hours. And then the Christmas period broken into. And I said, Lord, I hope you've got this right. I mean, you add that up, it's 4 months of 40 hours a week now. He said to me, just watch the results. And I know somebody came into our church very broken. She came to the prayer watch. Within 2 weeks, she's flying. Other people come in and whatever. Just watch the results. But I believe in the Holy Spirit. He wants to do something in worship in the nation. There's something, it's a God thing. Of being released, I believe, for prayer watches where we're ours, just letting him lead us, let his spirit move, the dimension shift through the atmosphere. And then I said to the Lord, well, give me a word on it, Lord. You know, you're always trying to get out of stuff, Noel. And it was the early church with Peter, that as he went from the time of prayer, as Peter walked out, his shadow fell and people got healed. And such was the anointing and the presence that he carried. And so when we read the Acts of the Apostles, I believe that he wants to restore Pentecost to all our churches. That we pray in the Spirit. We release the prophetic visions and dreams. That we let it erupt. That we let it go wild. Extravagant worship. New things happening. 2 years ago, the Lord spoke to me. He said, get 2 pianos in the worship. I have to talk to Suzette about it, and Susie, you know, Susie and I have lots of little battles. And then I talked to the other pianists. They didn't think it was possible. And I said, maybe just do 1 song. But they get into it and they work 2 pianos, 1 off the other, 1 singer off this, and suddenly it's flying. Then the Lord spoke to me there about a month ago. He said, I want 3 pianos this year. I said, he said, don't question. He said, just do it. And then he began to show me that at a certain stage in the music, where you have a lot of instruments, he said, there should be a place, he said, where I will release a shout over the place. Every instrument playing to the Lord. I said that in the prayer watch. And a woman said, that must have been like when they walked around the walls of Jericho. He said, they couldn't have been in harmony to one another, but he said, they played to a shout from heaven. And so I will have to talk to the musicians one by one and say, hallelujah. I had a friend... say the Lord has spoken this. Let's not question the Lord. You know, let's just work it to heaven. But I believe in the midst of our meeting, as we worship and as we praise and as we release the soloist and as all the different things, hallelujah, happen in the place, that there comes a place where we say, let the shout of victory erupt through the place. Let every instrument begin to flow, glory to God. And let what he wants to do go through the place. And so I know that something's going to happen through the worship. Hallelujah. Something in worship that releases it. I don't know. I don't know much about worship. Other than I listen to the Lord. He uses me. Hallelujah. I give directions. And listen. And it goes this way. I remember last year we hit a wall. At the conference, we hit the high worship. I mean, to say, people say, what's high and low worship? Well, and we have a girl from Nigeria. She can hit very high octaves, including my daughter. We hit the high worship. Suddenly, you hit a wall. I said, Lord, what next? He said, get the root, prophesy. Then next person, then a soloist, then the next one, and then next one. And then he said to me, one more. He said, it's going to erupt. And so I get one more guy out, Eric out, and I said, pray a prayer of faith over the whole place. And then somebody else came out. No, no, he said, let it erupt. And the place just erupted. Hallelujah. Yeah, he said, just let it erupt. He said, try to stop it after this. But, you know, he directs it. And I believe that the Holy Spirit wants to direct amazing new days of worship. Glory to God. High worship, soaking worship, healing worship, just erupt. Pentecostal worship. And so when we read the Acts of the Apostles, they prayed in tongues. Glory to God. And I'm just excited about it. We said something to the Lord years ago to go through the nation. It's been a lot of warfare through the years. Glory to God. But with great joy and a real excitement in our spirit about what the Lord wants to do. And I believe about a tabernacle that he wants to bring over the nation of all the different instruments that he can release and the gifts, glory to God, that he can sort of release in the place. And there's something in worship that God wants to release through the nation. I know it's happening with ourselves. It's my main passion at the moment is the worship area. Glory to God, to see what's happening and to see released in it. And it's the whole area of the Holy Spirit, of what he wants to do. And I'm not quite sure, but other than he wants to release his presence all over the place, and he wants to release the miraculous. I'm going to let Marion deal with the words of knowledge. There's a whole area of perseverance, and that is a power in itself. There's a number of things I will say about it. You can read it in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul's ministry. And if you look at Paul's ministry, he spent so much time in prison, so many difficulties in his life. He just kept going because there was some energy that was within him. And so the whole thing in Reinhard Bonnke's book, it's called Mighty Manifestations on the Gifts of the Spirit. But when he comes to the gift of miracles, he says the gift of miracles, I like the translation, he said is an energy that we receive to keep us going, to see people won for Christ, and to see great signs and wonders take place. Now, he differentiates, he said that's his thing for gift of miracles. The gift of miracles to the church was an energy that keeps the church going, that keeps us believing, that pushes back the enemy so that we see people come to Christ and see a mighty move of the miraculous as against gifts of healing and signs and wonders. And you know, you will receive power, Acts 1 verse 8. And so that is an energy that is put within us. The most important thing for you is that you can make whatever length you're at. You know, I don't believe that God has a set time for us to die. And I'll tell you why. I remember I thought of handing the church over. I mean, to say you're 60, it's a cultural thing. And I had this dream. I had the couple and all picked out. I mean, say lots has handed over. And the night that I said it, the evening that I said it, that night I had a dream. And the dream kept reoccurring, and the Lord was with me in the dream. And he said to me, I don't want you to resign. I don't want you to think of pulling out. He said, there's an intensity that is happening in the heavens. He said, things are going to happen. And he said, I'm going to keep you on the earth for as long as possible and keep you alive for as long as I can keep you. And the dream just kept reoccurring in his white robes. But then I had a phone call from Elizabeth. She's one of the African girls. And she said, Pastor, I've had a very disturbing dream. So I said, can you tell me? Well, she said, I want to see you. So I said, well, where are you? And she was up with her sister at the back of us. I said, I'll be there. She said, I dreamt that you'd resigned and I was no longer allowed to do worship because my worship is too loud. And then a few days later, I had another dream how Rainer Bonnke and somebody else was over and they were looking at the worship and they said, I don't believe that you resigned. And Tony Stone, who is in, told us that we've always had good connections with CFAN and with Reinhard, but one of the outworkings of him is this intensity that goes through the worship. And what I'm saying is that there is an energy that the Lord has for us for long days and for a long fight, glory to God, that you to carry you through, which is perseverance. And the enemy cannot withstand that intense pressure that we as believers, as groups of believers and as churches, that we would bring on him. And so we never let go. We've never let go of our faith, of the word, of what we believe, no matter what we've gone through and disappointments we've had. But I've believed in this energy that carries us to take us through and to push back the darkness so that we continue to believe and to hold that word and to see a mighty move, the miraculous. I know that this church is going to see higher levels and greater moves of the miraculous. I felt it when I came in today. An apostolic move of the miraculous, glory to God. The pushing back of the darkness. The bringing down of heaven. And so for me, perseverance is staying alive for as long as possible, driving at it, no surrender. That you will receive the meaning for me of Acts 1 verse 8 is you will receive power when the Holy Ghost comes upon you. Is an energy that keeps me going, glory to God, to carry me through and to carry this anointing, this word, and this power, and no surrender till I see what God has laid on my heart fulfilled. And when we look at the life of Paul, he was shipwrecked, he was put in prison, but he fulfilled his destiny and his ministry. And when Paul, 100 years after he died, there were no idol temples in the surrounding areas. Such was the success of Paul's ministry and the anointing and the power that was on his life. But it was that power of endurance, of perseverance, of what he carried in the spirit to break down all opposition and to see the power of God released and to see churches raised up, to see ministries released, to see the supernatural released over regions and entire areas. And so that's if there was something that I would say is the most important, is it keeps you going all the days of your life with intensity, glory to God. No surrender, hallelujah. And so for if there was a prayer for this church, know that no surrender that would keep you going till you're 100 and all with you. The enemy cannot hold out against that sort of intensity. And so then what Bill Johnston is saying, that the history of revival is a sad one because he said they only last a few years. He said the challenge is that we pass it on to another generation who will run with it with the same pace and the same ferociousness, glory to God, and carry it through. And that's my understanding of perseverance. You will receive power. It's an energy to keep us going, to keep us driving forward. In the promises of all that the Lord has made and all that his will is for us, glory to God, and that we will see. And you know, we've had our disappointments and now suddenly we're seeing new things in our worship. I'm sure there's a lot more that the Lord has to show us in the days to come. And so the name of Jesus, David came against Goliath in the power of the name of God. And so we come against our enemy in the name of Jesus. And so everything that we do in the healing ministry is that he would be glorified, that his name would be glorified. And so he sent them out in Mark chapter 16, go in my name. And Jehovah Rophi, the Lord is our healer. There's power in the name of Jesus. And one of the things that the old Pentecostals used to do, Smith Wigglesworth, who would go into a house and he would declare the name of Jesus. Somebody who came to our conference, this very sick, interesting, the one song that went right through her was, It is Jesus. And she sang that it's all about Jesus. That song just went through her. Power in that name, glory to God. And so Smith Wigglesworth would go to a house, somebody die, and he would just speak the name. And so that name of Jesus, which is a weapon of warfare, breaking down those powers, releasing something. In my name, you will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. I've just, I suppose, tried to do whatever the best we can. I know some people were talking to me during the break. I, for years, have prayed and not seen much success, but there are some keys to be released. And I would say keep searching. Go to conferences where it happens. Hopefully Bill Johnston comes into Ireland. Randy Clark, they say the sick heal all the time. You know, massive amount of miracles in their ministry. It's not, he's not a respecter of persons. There may be some key. It can be a key of rest. It is very vital that you can release your faith. You believe that God has done it. It may be a place of declaration. There's maybe some little key missing. It's not God. Remember, we are the ones that have to be the receivers of what he's doing. And sometimes it's in that place of rest. It's just somebody said to me, they joined our church 6 months ago, and they said the whole thing of righteousness has completely changed them. The gift of it. They said the empowerment of it. They said they always struggled. Everything struggled. They said, I'm just walking in a level of faith. This is a person who's a Christian a long time. Causes them to walk in a level of faith. And so that can be is that I have got it. I have received it. I thank the Lord for it. Glory to God. And there is the whole power of proclamation. You know, you can spend your whole time in a meeting. I'm just going to finish with this key. Come, Lord. I believe I have received. Mark 11:23. There comes a place where I have received. There comes a place where I proclaim it. I have received. The victorious one in the midst. There comes a place where I rejoice in it. There comes a place where I give thanks in it. And so it's a place of rejoicing, of giving thanks. I have asked. There is then, and I sort of feel this may be the key that's missing for many people. It's a place of proclamation, of declaring of what he's done, of giving him the glory. And I give him thanks. You know, I worship him. I thank you, Lord, that you've done it, because the Bible is full of, the prison doors are open. And so it's a declaration of freedom. And so I don't have to declare, Lord, make me free. I am free. Because Calvary has done it and the prison doors are open. And now my shout is, I am free. Hallelujah. I am free. And so it may be that place of rest. Don't strive to enter his rest. You're already in his rest. He is Emmanuel, God with us. The prison doors are open. The blood has done it. And so it may be a new language of victory. Lord, you have done it. I declare that you've done it. I'm walking in the supernatural power. I thank you, Lord. That I'm free. I thank you, Lord, that I'm in Christ Jesus. You know, so many people spend their time trying to get into what they're out of and out of what they're into. If you're trying to get into something, you're out of it. You're out of it. It's a whole area. And so maybe it's that area of rest, of proclamation. And so I do believe that there's a place of proclamation, of declaring all that the Word says. It would take me a long time to get these principles through. But you seek after that. There comes a place where I believe I have received it. I thank you for it, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for healing. A prayer I often get, a scripture I get people often to say is, I may lose my health. 2 Corinthians 6, Paul said sorrowful, and then he said always rejoicing. And so I can admit my negative. My body is subject to sickness, but I'll never lose his health. I have resurrection health in me. And so it flows from within me, Christ within me, the hope of glory. And so I declare, I'm in health in Christ Jesus. I'm in health in Christ. I've seen numerous people healed as the ship, because they're sharing a flow from within them. And so they're beginning to release that flow from within them. And so, as I said, there is a place where you ask, there's a place where you believe I have received, and there's a place where I confess what I've received. I rejoice in what I've received. That's where it's vital, that vital worship of proclamation and rejoicing and giving thanks in it. Something breaks through the atmosphere when you do that. Hallelujah. I'm going to let my wife talk about words of knowledge.
Praise the Lord. I'll just leave this here. Stephen talked about the power of perseverance and there's a story told, I forget which book I read it in, and a man and his wife were ministering to a woman. I don't know whether she or her husband were was caught in adultery, and so they were walking along a beach together and they were praying for the woman who was walking ahead of them. And suddenly in California, a cloud of flies descend on the man's wife, comes in, a whole cloud of flies comes in from the sea, and they have to beat the flies off and everything. But he's very perplexed about it because he said, there are no flies in California. It's, you know, orange growing country and they're sprayed. You say, you never see flies. And the Lord said, look up about the flies, because the devil is called Beelzebub, the Lord of the flies. So he looked it up at the time, many years ago, in a library, not on the internet. And he found out that from egg to death, the life of a fly is 40 days. And the devil will lie to you. And he will say, I've hit you with something and you can never get over this. You can never, because I have so many more arsenal to come against you. If you try to raise your head, I will lay you low on every side. And he's a liar. He's a liar, because if you fast for 40 days, I don't care how you do it, I don't encourage people to go on a full fast, medically speaking or whatever else, you'd have to check that out. Everyone can do a partial fast. And you can say, God, I'm doing this for something. And there will be a breakthrough, I promise you, because the devil has to back down. If you can stay strong for 40 days, he has to back down, because he is Beelzebub. Now, you know, I found with the words of knowledge, we've been moving in the words of knowledge, obviously, since the Holy Spirit came. But sometimes you don't heed them. You don't know it's a word of knowledge. But we were in a situation maybe 15 years ago, in a small little group, and we were saying, we need breakthrough for the daughter of the house who was alcoholic and suicidal. She was not living at home. And somebody got a hexagon. That was the picture we got as we prayed. And we said, well, okay, he's a mathematician, so we said, you got a hexagon, so what? I mean, we just felt like, so what? But in obedience to the Lord, we said, let's pray, and by the end of the meeting, let's ask the Lord what he means by this hexagon. And by the end of the meeting, the mother said, I believe it means a hex on her life. She's actually friends with a witch at the moment. And I believe this woman has put a hex in her life. So we broke that hex in Jesus' name, because we had confidence. Hey, this is God. Wow, you know, this is amazing. And we broke the hex, and about 3 weeks later, she tried to commit suicide and she was hospitalized. And I went down to see her mother. And we both looked at each other and we said, it sounds bad, but we know it's okay. And she said, I feel exactly the same. It sounds horrendous that her 12-year-old daughter found her in a collapsed state, had to ring the ambulance for her, but we know it's God. Many years later, she came through that. She's a lovely Christian today. That was her moment of release, her moment of breakthrough. And she said when she woke up in the psychiatric ward and looked around at all these dear, poor people, she said, I am not one of you. I will never be one of you. I will never come here again. And that was her breakthrough moment. And it was from one word of knowledge about breaking the hex. So scripturally, we base it on 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7, where it says, Noel, I like a bit of light. It's gone out. I don't mind. I'm just standing up here for the light. To each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. So that means each one. That means every one of you has a gift. You can ask for a gift. You can ask for many gifts. It's for the common good. It's not to make you boastful or proud. Superiority and inferiority is the work of the flesh. It's all God. The flesh avails for nothing. And so it says, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given the Spirit, through the Spirit, the message of wisdom. Another, knowledge, the words of knowledge by the same Spirit. To another, faith. So we just started asking God for these gifts in that little small group. If I remember correctly, and I do remember, I asked the Lord for the gift of prophecy. The next week I had it. I was so shocked, I couldn't talk. I went home full of guilt. You didn't say it, you didn't say it, you fool. How did? God will never give you a word again. Next week, in the meeting, I got another word. I still couldn't say it. I tell people afterwards because I was so shocked that God was speaking to me. And it's the same with the word of knowledge. God is more willing to give than we are to receive. And so, what is a word of knowledge? In a situation where we need God, could be any kind of situation, and we ask him for a word of knowledge. And so we can see something, we hear something, we feel something, we taste something, we dream it, or we smell it. And these are words from the Lord and words of knowledge that we didn't know before. So we're praying and interceding for the conference, and I get this stench of rotten fish on my landing. I mean, stench. I don't have rotten fish on my landing, so I'd never had it before. I checked it out with one daughter. She smelt it. The other daughter didn't smell anything, so then I knew it was spiritual. So I said, what do I do? What do I do? So eventually, I took authority, and I just said, I take authority, and I just will not have. And I asked the Lord what it was, and he said, this is abuse, the spirit of abuse. And I said, okay, we'll probably be dealing with the spirit of abuse in the conference, so I believe we can break it now in Jesus' name. The next place it was downstairs on the landing. And the next, and it was faded. And the next place it was in the in my front room. And we had breakthrough for abuse that year into people's lives. There's other times it's just amazing. You know, they sense this, the perfume of the Lord, you know, in a room, the fragrance of his presence. And I said, Lord, why are you giving us the fragrance of your presence? He said, and he showed me a skinny little sliver of light. He said, I have so much to give you. And he said, I want to expand your spirit and I want to make you fat in the spirit. So did you receive from every angle? Words of knowledge are very important when you're going to pray for the sick. When we do pray regularly for each other and for people who come for prayer, we ask the Lord what to pray and he'll show you something. They may be saying migraine and he shows you a broken heart. They may be saying, pain in my back, but you see words that have been spoken against them. You might see knives in their back. You might see spears in their back. And you say, ouch, where is she going? But I learned this first from a man that Gary Davison brought into Ireland called Frank Hultgren. Spent a weekend with leaders out in Greystones before he moved from Perth to the States, I think to Texas. And he had a book out, which if I could get, it's out of print. It is the best book on spiritual warfare. I'll just give you one instance. He was told by the Lord, he was a preacher around Australia. He was told by the Lord to go to a certain northern city to preach there, and he said, no, Lord, that city is known as the preacher's graveyard. I'm not going there. And Lord said, just go, just be obedient. So he went and he hired a motel room. He hired a hall in the city. There were no churches in the city. And the Lord said, I have many people here. So the hall was full. People were giving their lives to the Lord. People were coming to the Lord. And on the second night, coming back rejoicing, he said, God, you were right. You were right. You have so many people here. Parked the car outside the motel and a cloud came over him and he could not move. This cloud told him, get out, you're finished, get out. But physically, it was so powerful, he couldn't move, he could not function. Eventually, he crawled out of the car into his motel room and collapsed on the floor and he couldn't move and he kept saying, God, give me a word, give me a word, give me a word. And the Lord said, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. And he said, give me another word. Because he'd never heard that before. And this is with the word of knowledge. It's going to be novel. It's going to be new. Because it's straight from the Holy Spirit for the situation. So he began to whisper the word of knowledge, whisper it, whisper it, whisper it. By an hour's time, he could kneel up and say it. After 2 hours, he could shout it, and he cleared the room. The next day, he drove up and down the city, and he shouted it the whole day up and down the city, and he cleared that demon from the city, that spirit of failure, spirit of fear. He cleared it, and then it came back 10 years later, and there were 11 churches established there. That's the power of the word of knowledge. Amen.
Just going to bring it, but the word of knowledge, you'll see people like Reinhard Bonnke move powerfully in it, and we had friends Ian Andrews, and a lot of people get healed in it, listening to the Lord. Some people are, I don't move in word of knowledge for healing, maybe on a one-to-one basis, but you often see people come to the front. And Reinhard, just one quick example, he was in Australia preaching, and the Lord said to him, there's your key miracle over there, a woman is going to walk out of a wheelchair. And he points to her, the television cameras around him, and said, you're going to walk out of a wheelchair tonight. He discovered that she was part of the television crew, and she did not want to know. He said, Lord, what will I do tonight? Because faith is important for a miracle. Lord said, it's your faith tonight. And Ray McCauley whispered up to him, you're on your own tonight. And so then he got, he said, he listened to the Lord, and he got a completely new message about the armor bearers. And he preached about carrying the to Christ and faith. At the end of the meeting, all eyes are on him, and he goes down and he says, now is the moment for the miracle, and he takes her by the hand, and the power shoots through her and she walks out. And but what we've discovered on the word of knowledge is a high amount of people are healed when words of knowledge go forth. Something like 9 out of 10. It's very, very high on words of knowledge. When words of knowledge goes forth. And so it's not in a meeting at the front. I operate differently, release it in faith and whatever. I can see when it comes to releasing people into their destiny and their ministry, I can see it all over the place at times, particularly with people that I would relate to exactly what God has called them to do. But we do want to release these gifts in our midst and to be listening to the Lord and letting the Holy Spirit come upon you and you know, that they are all the time that we're reaching out and saying, Lord, take me to the next level. Give me the keys. And that's basically what we're saying to you today. And there's no surrender and there's no give up. Lord, I pray for everyone here today. I thank you, Lord, for the calling on each one's life. I bless you, Father. And I thank you, Lord, that this is a road to travel, Lord, and that blessing and goodness will follow us all the days of our life, Lord. I just pray, Lord, for each one here today, Lord, that because of your faithfulness and your perseverance, that you can have a passion, a compassion for lost people. Lord, to release faith, to release gifts. Lord, even new ideas, new ways. Father, we pray for this now in Jesus' name. Amen.
We receive it, yeah? Let's stand. Just lift our hands to heaven. In the Old Testament, when the priest would pray, he'd lift up his hand and the people would lift up the hand. Meaning that he was given it. He was reaching up to heaven saying, I only have what heaven has given me. And the people had a hand up in receivership of that blessing. And believe me, it wasn't just that was a nice prayer. Something came. Landed on the people. Something from heaven came down, and we just want to say that we receive Stephen's prayer, Lord. We receive it into our lives. We take it into our bosom, Lord. We believe it's something good and heavenly, Lord. So that your church, your people can move into a new dimension, another level, oh God, of establishing your work in the city and in the nation. We just thank you, Lord, that you've equipped your church and you are equipping your church in these days that's upon us. Father, we bless you. We thank you for what we've heard. We thank you for the Stephen and for Marion giving of their lives this morning. And we bless them, Father, and speak blessing over them, Lord. Father, multiply them. Multiply their tribe, Lord. Amen.